And welcome again, folks, on a Friday night in a Christian fellowship. And as the song was so fitting, they will know we are Christians by His love. And that song is fitting because I felt, you know, really it's leading up to the message tonight because I really like that song. Another person, Village, he's known me here. I don't know where he's at, but he seems like he has not been missing a lot of this, but now he's starting to miss quite a few of them, so maybe he's just busy, or he's sleeping, or his job, or who knows, you know, I mean, he lives down under, but at least one thing I am proud that he is doing, y'all don't see this, but late at night, you know, when we're all in bed after the midnight hour, I think that's when it's morning hours for him, he's in his room, he's ministering left and right to people who happens just to be here, and one user here named Sky, she's in here a lot, and he's constantly, you know, preaching the word to her. He's constantly putting the word, you know, in the room for her. And he's always talking to her. So at least he's doing good. And he's making a valid effort, you know, to use this as his ministry. And as I always said to y'all, you know, this is your ministry. Because basically now, this chat room is pretty much set up where it's going to run on its own. And I have it set up where reoccurring monthly payments is going to keep paying for it. So, you know, with me fixing to move into a new ministry, you know, I'm not going to have much time to do a lot of coding work and rebuilding work and all that stuff, so I just don't know how it's going to go yet. But my main focus, as I told the Lord, I'm going to focus on His ministry, do what He calls me to do, work in this new church, reach out to the people. So I may be pretty busy. I may not have much time to devote to all this. Yes, I still plan on, you know, for the faithful few who shows up on Fridays, you know, if I have time to preach these sermons and stuff, because I will have messages. But again, I just don't know the future. Right now, I'm just going to go day by day and let God decide what He's going to do. Amen. For those of you here today, make sure I got a mic check. Is everybody doing okay here tonight? Let me hear an amen from somebody so that way you don't mess with my head. Okay, I know that. Well, folks, as always, you know, whatever I'm working on a message for tonight, I'm always thinking ahead, you know, what can I be led to preach on the following week? Sometimes, generally, I already have some things running in my mind, and I just usually seek scriptures, and, you know, usually I let the Lord decide, you know, where I'm going to go. And He brought me into this message here tonight because the reason why I'm going in this message is something that I have dealt with, and something I dealt with basically for the last basically 2.5 years this is something that I have been dealing with in the last 2.5 years that I've been sitting at my current church. And unfortunately, it's not a bad thing, but I am leaving the church because I've been issued a call to go help a pastor in another church. And this is why I was led to this, because this is more personal to me. And this is something I told the pastor of the new church that I'm fixing to go to. I had to learn this lesson. And a lot of us don't like learning new lessons. A lot of us don't like getting out of that comfort zone. You know, so some of us, I think, and I'm pretty sure, all of us can relate or have related to this at times in our Christian walk when looking for answers or seeking directions or seeking guidance from either a pastor, an elder, a deacon, or perhaps even a friend. And then many times when you are seeking answers and you go to someone like that, at times we hear the most dreaded words. I mean, we don't want to hear those words sometimes when they're fixing to tell us. And usually a lot of times when you're talking to them, you're trying to seek advice, generally a lot of times, and I do say this myself when I'm talking to someone when they're asking me for advice, be patient and wait. And if you're like me sometimes, look, most of us really hate waiting for what we want. Now, if you see me, if I had the camera on, my hand's raised up. Because generally, a lot of times, I kind of don't like it waiting. I'm so used to doing, but then when the Lord places me on the side and basically tells me, Jim, wait. So, I started thinking about waiting. You know, my 2.5 years of tenure in this current church that I'm at, I'm fixing to leave this Sunday. I started thinking about it. Why is waiting at times so bad on us? Well, me, I think really it's our modern society that makes it worse. See, we want everything done quickly, like some sort of a microwave. Set the little timer, ding, it's right there. A lot of us wants that. And a lot of this has contributed to a lot of many new devices that are constantly springing up to meet those demands and encourage our impatience. Now, a lot of us, to me, I'm into these gadgets with the iPads and the iPhones and the Bluetooths and this and that and everything else. You know, so we getting a lot of stuff instant. We get it right then and there and then. And we're getting used to that. Instant gratifications. But then all of a sudden, if we lose the internet or we lose power or something like that, and you got to call technical support and tell, well, you got to wait because we're working on it. We don't know when it's going to get back up. We get a little impatient, don't we? If you see me again, my hand is being raised up. Now, if I had cameras looking at you, you can hide whatever and say, oh, no, that ain't me, Jim. I never do nothing like that. Yeah, okay. You know, if you don't, hey, that's cool. I'm not trying to embarrass you. But, folks, bottom line is, we are not used to waiting. We're not. See, the more that our technology caters to our immediate desires, the less we feel willing to wait. Such is our dilemma as Christians, and I see this with many Christians today. See, while society makes every attempt to make our life easier and faster, God, my friends, works on a different timetable. In His mind, nothing is wrong with waiting. In fact, waiting can actually be a positive good that He often uses to make us more like His Son. Now, did you know, or did you also know that something actually happens while nothing is happening? Let me repeat that. I'm pretty sure you caught it. But did you know that something is actually happening while nothing is happening? Maybe I'm letting this sink in, but see, what I'm saying here, folks, God uses waiting to change us. So why do I say this? Why do I say that God uses waiting to change us? Very simple. God wants us to learn how to follow Him and put down our demanding selves to calm that screaming child in us. One way He helps us to do this is to say, wait. See, a lot of times when He has to calm us down, He will tell us, wait. And sometimes when we hear that, we used to say, oh, no, you didn't have to go there. Wait a minute, whoa. I'm not too comfortable with this waiting, my man. Look, hold on a minute. You're barking up the wrong tree if you're telling me to wait. Wait. Come on. It's miserable. It's uncomfortable. And sometimes, folks, it's painful. But the state of silence is one of God's most powerful tools to set us free. If we are willing, that is. Now, if you got your Bibles with you, I got one verse here tonight, because I've been reading a lot in Old Testaments lately, because I've been reading a lot of New Testaments, but, you know, I've been kind of hanging out a lot in Old Testaments, and I've been in the Psalms this week, and I have actually seen a lot of other verses I've been posting on my new iPhone gadgets to my other pastoral friends, and I'm kind of loving it. But I came across Psalms chapter 33, verse 20. Psalms chapter 33, verse 20. And it will be posted up here because my buddy, he helps me out, whatever, if he's sitting here. But he does do little things. He gets distracted with his earbuds and stuff. But Psalms chapter 33, verse 20 says this: our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. I love that. I really do. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight to submit ourselves to you and your authority. And Father, I know many times that you always tell a lot of us, hey, we got to wait. And a lot of times, Father, you know, I'm like that screaming child. I start kicking, you know. And I know what you're talking about. We like that little kid we see on television that starts throwing these temper tantrums. And we just start screaming and we start throwing our arms up and we start saying, wait, are you got to be kidding me? I'm not going to wait. You know, I think a lot of times, Father, whenever we are told to wait, that we have to learn a lesson in that waiting. I know sometimes our patience runs thin. A lot of times we just kind of blow it. And, you know, and you're probably sitting up there like facepalming, you know, I'm just saying this, but that, I don't know if that's what you do or not, you know. But you're probably saying, see, child, you're not getting it. I'm telling you to wait for a reason. If you just be patient and wait, then you will understand the end results. So, Father, thank you again for giving me the humility. And thank you again for helping me understand what waiting is all about. Thank you for being with me for the last 2.5 years and teaching me how to wait. Because you have now opened a different door for me. And I ask of you as I walk through that door to give me the strength and the serenity and the courage that I need to do your will, to do your ministry work and not mine. So I ask of you to bless that and show me what I must do here on our. Father, I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight. They could have been elsewhere, but they took their time to come here. You know what, Father, I'm really, you know, happy to see them here because, again, like I said, they could have been doing their own little thing. But you allow them to be here with this technology to hear this message. So thank you again for your wonderful love. And I ask of you, you know, to help those who are in need tonight and be with them and love them and let them know that you care deeply for them. So, precious Father, we praise you. We glorify you. We give everything back to you in the sweet name of Jesus, and we all say amen. Woo! I know, folks, that's the title of this message tonight. Waiting brings help from God. And I like it, you know, because that's why I thought about it, you know, and I always put titles on a message. And as I learned this lesson myself personally, this message is for me tonight. It may be for you also. I don't know, but I know it's for me. You see, I would like for us to know, all of us, we really don't start out waiting to wait, don't we? We don't. We don't start out waiting to wait. You see, our natural response to waiting is often anger or doubt. Now, as I was praying, I was saying, you know, like, you know, you see those little kids, you know, a lot of times when you tell a kid no, he has to wait, well, he ain't going to get that toy, he ain't going to get that candy, he ain't whatever, they start falling out on the floor, they start screaming bloody murder, they start crying, they start kicking, they start, I mean, they just have an outright full-blown temper tantrum. And sometimes whenever we are dealing with such difficulties in our lives, sometimes whenever we are facing some kind of hardship, or sometimes when we need to make a real decision, we want instantaneous results, but we don't get it because sometimes I think we get the message that, you know what, you're going to have to wait. Then we end up ourselves inside spiritually, start throwing a tantrum. It happens. I will stand before you and admit that I have done that several times myself. Now, fortunately, God is gracious and merciful and understanding of our tendencies. Simply feeling deep, complex emotions in waiting, especially for significant things like a pregnancy or a job, or whether or not you make a decision to move or not move or whatever. Whenever you kind of get those kind of deep emotions running in you, folks, let me assure you of something right now. It is not necessarily sinful in itself. But we can decide where those emotions will take us. We do have a choice. We can decide to exalt these feelings. We might act on them by taking matters into our own hands, or perhaps we will not act, but we'll make an idol out of the good for which we are waiting. Every passing day is another log on the fires of bitterness, impatience, ingratitude, perhaps even resentment against the God who won't give us what we want. Or, by God's grace, we can choose to wait as He intends. Waiting on the Lord is the opposite of running ahead of the Lord, and it's the opposite of bailing out on the Lord, writes John Piper. He wrote this. Folks, stand at your appointed place while He says, stay. Or it's going at His appointed pace while He says, go. It's not impetuous, or it's not despairing. We have the choice. We have the choice. Then we can do several things. We could take a deep breath and release our clenched hands and just let God be God. Wouldn't it be much simpler if we just realize it? You know what, God? I'm just going to let You be You. Sometimes we don't do that. And are we invited to continue hoping in His greatness? So in tonight's message, and this is what I came across myself thinking about this, I would love for us to cover four important facts of what happens when we wait on God instead of ourselves. The first fact is, waiting brings strength from God. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, look. Waiting brings strength from God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I was singing that song today. I was dealing with a lot of things. I had car trouble, I had flat tires and everything else. And I was getting a little impatient because, you know, I knew I was going to be stuck at that automotive shop for several hours. But that song just came to my head. You know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You see, my friends, some Christians lack the strength they need to be a blessing to others. And what happens here is they unsuccessfully depend on self-effort rather than waiting on God for His help or directions or even instructions. Folks, you need to understand an important trait we all need to learn, and that trait is trust in Him and wait. Trust in Him and wait. Bottom line, folks, God wants us to use our time, talents, and treasures. We must wait on Him, trusting Him for needed strength, and He will give it if we are willing to wait for it. The psalmist advised in Psalms chapter 27, verse 14, which says this, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wow. Friends, be strong. Wait on the Lord, and let Him direct your path. Let Him give you courage. Let Him show you the way you need to go, and let Him show you who He really is. Which brings us to our second point for tonight. Waiting on God brings serenity from God. Don't you get that? Brings serenity from God. Psalms chapter 37, verse 30. Let me slow down. Psalms chapter 37, verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself." There is a little peace and quiet in today's world. Noise, strife, and distractions are the order. Many Christians fail to rest in the Lord and wait for Him. They lead complicated lives. You and I, my friends, we must take the time to get quiet before the Lord. She kind of posted that a little bit earlier. We need to take the time and get quiet before the Lord. My friends, God's words, Adamus, which says, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalms chapter 46, verse 10. And friends, the reason for Him telling us this, because when we get quiet and listen to Him, it gives us peace in our lives. And the main reason I say this, when my focus is on my problems and what God has or has not given me, I'm prone to grumbling, complaining, discontentment, bitterness, selfishness. In other words, I start throwing temper tantrums. When I define goodness by what brings me the most comfort, happiness, and gratifications in this life, then anything that threatens these things will tempt me to question God's love and goodness. And God demonstrated His goodness to us when Christ absorbed the wrath of God that we deserve, making a way for us to be set free from the power of sin and our enemy, Satan, who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy our eternal joy and peace. For those who have eyes to see, seasons of waiting offers countless opportunities to witness God at work in and through us for our eternal good and His glory. And this is why we ask God, grant us the serenity we need to order or in order to see his work in our lives. That's why we ask him, folks, God, grant me the serenity I need. So this way I can see his work in my life and your life. Which brings us to our third point. Waiting on God brings stability from God. That's right. Waiting on God brings stability from God. Psalms chapter 40 verses 1 through 2 says this: I wait patiently for the Lord, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Folks, many people lack stability in their Christian walk. I see this so much in my talks with many Christians I encounter in real life, also here in this chat room. I see this all the time. Many are not stable for whatever reason it may be. And my heart grieves when I see that. And I sit here, and a lot of times you don't see me, but I facepalm when I'm trying to talk to you, and you're asking me questions with Brother Jim, what must I do? And I give you the answer according to God's words, but yet I still see you so unstable. And it hurts me, and it grieves me. Because when I see these people, what's happening to them, they are up one day and down the next day. Their influence is hurt, and their outreach for God is limited. Because you know what? I think, this is me again, I think what's happening, because they are so unstable, they're truly not hearing what God is telling them. And because of that, they are limiting God's power. Now, you may think otherwise different. I mean, I'm just telling you what I feel. But, you know, if we have that unstable mind, folks, that means we are not in tune to him. We are not in tune to his spirit. We are not allowing his spirit, really, to influence us. We are taking it the opposite. Because we are acting so unstable, we are allowing that flesh to override him. And you wonder why that whenever I deal with so many that comes through here or so many I see in real life, and I see there, and I start really weeping on the inside because I see how unstable you are. Because again, I know what it takes for you to get stable. Get back into the Word of God. Get closer to God. Surrender yourself to God and strip yourself of all that flesh and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he does best. And I promise you, you're going to have a stable life. But you got to believe. You got to trust. You got to have the faith. Friends, if you don't do that, you're going to be unstable. I'm telling you, God will give you the stability if you're willing to wait on him. Trust me, I've been through it, and I know what I'm saying. Friends, we must wait patiently on the Lord in prayer and in the study of his words, trusting him to stabilize our lives. God wants his children to become established in the faith. He promised it. He promised it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. He says this, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Come on, folks, get an amen out of this. That's his word saying that. That's not Brother Jim. This is God himself saying it. He will confirm. He will restore. He will strengthen. He will establish you. You will have stability. What are you waiting on? Take it. Submit yourself to it. See, when we wait on God, it helps us become more stable in our walk with him. It helps us. Which brings us to our fourth point for tonight. Oh, my friends, I love this. waiting on God brings submission to God. Waiting on God brings submission to God. Luke chapter 22, verse 41 through 42 says, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Folks, let God's will be done. You see, in perhaps his most excruciating hour, Jesus waited in prayer. And what did he do? He yielded his will to his heavenly Father's will. Friends, if Jesus yielded to his Father, then we must wait on the Lord, submitting our will to God as Jesus did. God's will is always best for us, even though at times you and I may not fully understand what's going on. We may not get it. I don't understand this, God. I don't know why you're doing this. I just don't get it. But you know what? Forget about it. Submit yourself to his will. God knows what he's doing. If we have to wait on it, he will take care of it. He will. All of us, my friends, we should surrender all to God, totally, 100%, committing our lives to him physically, mentally, and spiritually in everything, not just part of it. And this is why so many Christians I see are struggling in their Christian lives, because they are not really surrendering 100% in accordance to his will. Come on. You want to be free. You want that serenity. You want that peace. You want that strength. You want to be stable. Then submit to God. Submit to God. That's what you got to do. Submit all. Give it all. Here, Lord, here I am. Raise your hand up and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I belong to you. Whatever you want me to do, wherever I got to go, I will go. Friends, I know what the waiting game is about. I had to wait. And God is now sending me out of my comfort zone, 52 minutes away, both ways, to another church to go do the ministry there. Because I finally waited. I finally said, Lord, Lord, I'm here. Whatever your will, let your will be done, and I will do it. And God has now pulled me out of that comfort zone. Now I understand what waiting is all about. And in closing, oh, my friends, if you are unsure about some things in your life, don't wait another day to figure it out on your own. Please don't. Ensure your heart is in the right place of humility. And then ask God to help you. Be humble and submit yourself to the Lord. And ask him to help you. You see, my friends, something that I just recently learned. Once you ask God, once that you trust God, once that you have allowed yourself to submit to him, he is going to direct you. He is directing you. And yes, at times, look, you heard me say this throughout the night. Yes, at times, waiting is hard. Waiting is hard. Waiting is tough. Waiting during many times in our lives seems like there's no hope. But trust me, I have seen God come through time after time, after time, after time, after time, after time, again without fail. Trust me. Wait on God. He will come through. He will. Some of you may have heard this, but there is a saying that many of us have heard. I heard this a lot. God is never late, but He is never early. Think about that one. And this means that God will come in with the breakthrough on His time schedule, not yours. Why do I know this? Very simple. If you're a student of the Word, you should know it too. And I saw this. Why do I know this? Well, some of the greatest figures in the Bible had to wait. They had to wait. People like Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David. That's just a few. They, my friends, had to wait for many, many years for God's promise. Everything that happened in the meantime was used to prepare them inwardly as well as outwardly. Then, when they reached their promise, they were blessed beyond measure. Come on, folks. God invites us to trust in His goodness today and His faithfulness tomorrow. Relinquishing control to Him is the main route to experience His love and peace. It unites our hearts with His. It creates a level of maturity and character that will take us into the future, and it enables us to enjoy His future blessings all the more. As long as our hope is set on this life and the things that gratify our flesh, we will likely feel frustrated, discouraged, and even hopeless. But the good news is, hey, I got some good news for you. The good news is Jesus Christ came to offer us eternal joy and freedom from sin. And although we have been set free from sin's power, sin's presence is still at work in and around us. But listen carefully, we are no longer dominated by sin. We're not. Thankfully, the gospel, my friends, assures us as believers that God is for us and works all things together for the good for those who are called according to His purpose. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. But another passage came to my heart when I was putting this together. And I was reminded of this in Psalms chapter 25, verses 4 through 5, which reads, and listen to this, I love it. And it says this, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. And just like David, during long or even short seasons of waiting, our hearts will be encouraged to remember that the best is yet to come. One day, my friends, sin will be no more. We will be free from the self demands and temptations and experience everlasting joy. So I leave you with this tonight. So set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Wow. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4 says this: For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Woo-hoo! My dear friends, Jesus Christ is the answer. He is your rest and the treasures you seek. Wait for the Lord and do not run ahead of him. Let him lead and let him do what he does best. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to come here. Oh God. Whew. Thank you for teaching me the lesson about what waiting is all about. At first, at times, I just couldn't understand it. But you know what? Now, seeing what you have shown me, I understand. Father, I know we all fall short of your precious glory. I know we make mistakes. I know sometimes we get impatient and we try to run ahead of you and we want to take matters into our own hands. But you know what? Sometimes, you know, I think you allow us to do that because when the things fail, we have to regroup and come back to you and wait. And then we see the real reason why we had to wait. So thank you for teaching me this lesson. Thank you for allowing me to see this lesson. Thank you for allowing me to understand what it means to have patience and wait. Father, I love you for doing that. Thank you for giving me the strength, the serenity, the courage, the wisdom that I need to do better for you. So I ask of you just to help me be strong with you, that hopefully whatever that I could be led to do, that someone else may come to know your son Jesus. So thank you for your love, your kindness and your patience, your grace and your mercy. Father, thank you so much for loving me and taking care of me and letting me know that, hey, it's going to be okay. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.